Wake up. Keep awake. How does that sound to you right now? If you are a parent of young children, that probably sounds awful. Sleep is the most precious of commodities, the thing you probably want more than anything else and can never quite get enough of. Keep awake is about the last thing you want to hear. If you are feeling overwhelmed that it's now December and the annual to-do lists are starting to grow, presents to buy and baking to do and parties to organize and cards to address, then you hardly need a divine voice telling you to keep alert. You know that strong coffee or tea is what it will take to plow through it all, to make it to calmer waters on the other side of December 25th. If you are, like me, a little bit too hooked on the news these days, sometimes staying up later than you probably should to read about the latest political scandal, the latest crisis, the latest offensive presidential tweet, then keep watch just sounds like more of the same, more watching the screen for more bad news. For many of us, I'm guessing Jesus' words, keep awake, sound like about the last advice we need here on December 3rd, 2017. We're plenty hyped up as it is, over-caffeinated and overstimulated, and have enough to do already. Keep awake, says Jesus. And we say, you got it, Lord. No problem. Done and done. We begin the season of Advent today, 4 weeks that lead to Christmas, which are really just 3 weeks this year. That's right, 3 weeks from today is Christmas Eve. Are you awake now? We begin the season of Advent today, and it always begins like this. Not with cozy images of the manger and the baby, not with gentle animals and twinkling stars, but with jarring language of the heavens being torn apart and stars falling from the sky. It begins with an alarm clock, and that always feels a little strange. I think this is the church's way of remembering that the coming of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas is not all sweet and gentle and mild. It is also earth-shaking. It is news that shakes the foundations of the world and points to a new way of life, a new set of priorities, a new way of being that will leave nothing unchanged. In an Advent sermon long ago, German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it this way. We have become so accustomed to the idea of divine love and of God's coming at Christmas that we no longer feel the shiver of fear that God's coming should arouse in us. We are indifferent to the message, taking only the pleasant and agreeable out of it and forgetting the serious aspect that the God of the world draws near to the people of our little earth and lays claim to us. The coming of God is truly not only glad tidings, but first of all, frightening news for anyone who has a conscience. They're strong words, aren't they? I think that's part of what these dramatic, cataclysmic second coming of Jesus readings are doing here at the start of Advent. Wake up, they say. Don't think that God's coming is all twinkling lights and cozy fireplaces and van show, mere ornamentation for the cold of winter. God's coming means a threat to business as usual. It will ask something of you, as it always does. It means that the world and our lives are changed by grace. That's part of what waking up in Advent means, I think. Waking up to the magnitude of just what we are talking about when we talk about Christmas. But over this past week, as I've been reading this passage from the Gospel of Mark that we have in front of us today, I've been struck by something else, too. That the call to wake up is very much the call to wake up to the world around us and to wake up to our own lives here and now. That might sound strange at first when it comes to this particular reading. I mean, Jesus is mostly talking in the future tense here, isn't he? In those days, he begins, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. These are future tense words, and for centuries they have driven Christians to future speculation about when and how Jesus will return. But it's pretty clear that Jesus actually doesn't mean for his disciples' attention to be focused way out in the future. He means for it to be here and now, in the place where his presence comes. About that day or hour, no one knows, he says. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. That kind of wakefulness is very different from being over-caffeinated or simply being busy. That kind of watchfulness means walking with a spring in your step because you expect Christ to come. Because you expect that Christ comes to us and to this world, just as it is. Maybe that is one way to think of what Advent is all about. Drawing our attention right here, into the present moment, because it is holy. Because it is to ordinary moments and ordinary lives that Christ comes. This is a challenge, I think, because there is actually so much to draw our attention away from the present moment, this particular time of year. Sometimes it's our overfull lists keeping us so busy decorating and well-wishing that we're barely pausing to breathe. Sometimes it's the advertisements and enticements, the shopping and consuming that are so much a part of this season, keeping us from gratitude for what it is we already have. And often I think it's the ideals that we hold on to when it comes to the holidays, the pictures we lug around of what an ideal family or an ideal celebration or an ideal church looks like. We can hold on to those images so tightly that we're kept from appreciating and cherishing the people who are right there by our side, right there around us. I think the rituals of Advent, the slow and meditative hymns, the lighting of candles one at a time, the intentional space for quiet and for prayer, all of it is meant to draw us into the present moment, into recognizing our own lives, imperfect and beautiful as they are, as holy ground. Some of you have devotional practices for this season, I know. In your bulletin this morning, you'll find some evening devotions you might do around your own Advent wreath at home. And I'll share with you something that I am doing as well that is helping to ground me in the present moment. I'm working my way slowly through a book called All Creation Waits this Advent. It's a very simple idea, and I've been surprised at how much it's moved me. Each of its 25 short chapters is a profile of an animal living in the Northern Hemisphere and the ways it adapts to the onset of cold and darkness this time of year. So it begins with the painted turtle, which is a very common animal in North America. When the air turns cold and thin wisps of ice are beginning to form on the pond where she's been living, something inside her tells her one day to take a deep breath and dive beneath the surface. She swims to the bottom of the pond where it's a little bit warmer, and there she buries herself in the mud. And she will stay there for months. While the water freezes solid above her and the cold winds blow, she will stay below the mud. Her breathing actually stops, and her heart almost stops as well. Her body temperature drops almost to freezing, and to keep even that minimum level of warmth, her muscles begin to dissolve. She is alive there, beneath the mud and the ice, but just barely. Her body waiting for the time when the thaw will come, and when she will rise to the surface again for her first breath of air in months. The idea of this book is that each of these creatures is just a little icon of the gospel that we encounter in Advent. That even in the cold, and even in the dark, God is not absent. In fact, it is almost exactly at the coldest, longest night of the year when we recall God's coming at Christmas. And there's no accident about that. Reading about these creatures makes me want to be more alert as I go about Advent this year. Where else might I encounter signs of God's presence? Where else might I see Christ alive and meeting this world? Where else might I catch a glimpse of God on the move? I don't know just what rituals, what pauses will help you to stay alert this Advent, but that is the invitation that I hear for all of us. Amidst our busy lives and this broken and beautiful world that sometimes feels on the brink of falling apart, Advent is a time to keep watch for Christ's coming here and now. Christ's coming that means challenge for the smug and the powerful, justice for the oppressed, mercy for the brokenhearted, grace upon grace for this world. Keep awake. Pay attention. Because Christ doesn't come just to some imaginary ideal world or family or person or life. Christ comes to us, to our lives, to our world, even and especially in the darkest night. Amen. Amen.